Good morning. This morning's reading is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
When it was suggested that we should do a series on the Holy Spirit, I thought it was a good idea. I've changed my mind. This is scary. And certainly doing this preparation for this talk, I realized that you cannot be comprehensive when talking about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I feel that the sermon has been preached already several times. With Nick's talk, I think that video is just amazing. In Angie's prayer as well, it was totally Trinitarian. So, and this idea that I've got up here. Encountering the Holy Spirit in the Older Testament. I've put older because actually the Old Testament has not finished. We still can learn from the Old Testament. And we should. Isaiah 61 is one of the most incredible passages ever that Jesus quotes in Luke 4. And as I said, it just seems that the sermon's been preached already. Because Nick said, the Holy Spirit... Oops. Is this on? The Holy Spirit is throughout the Bible. And believe you me, that once you start studying it, you see the Holy Spirit all the time. And I was just reading, as Lorraine was reading Isaiah 61, my eyes, I'm not very concentrated, I'm a little bit sort of distracted, butterfly-minded. And in chapter 59, it says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, who is on you, and I'm thinking, never seen that verse before. So there you go again. The Holy Spirit is going to be present throughout the Bible. And we can learn a great deal about who this person is. Now, I want to emphasize this. This is slipping off. I want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is a person, one of the persons of the Trinity. Sometimes I hear people talk about it, and I'm kind of going, no, the Holy Spirit is a person. We're told by the Apostle Paul that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can upset the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit we encounter as a person. And that is important. And I'm so glad, thank you, Angie, that you prayed to the Holy Spirit. Because we need to be praying to the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we have this immense privilege. Now, like I said, I'm just going to recap a little bit what I did in November. So the Holy Spirit is present in creation. The Holy Spirit was literally, the word is brooding, like a hen broods over its chicks. Concerned, worried, covering them up. And we are part of that creation that the Holy Spirit created. That's got two eyes in it. I just noticed it, by the way. So the Holy Spirit was there, right there. God the Father said, let there be light, and there was light. He created with the Word, who is Jesus Christ, and the Spirit was there, hovering over the waters. So we have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. But also in salvation. The Holy Spirit is present in salvation. We sometimes think of this, and this phrase is going to go from my mind. I can see it flying off. A sort of, what do you do when you share out work? Yeah, it's like delegating. So God the Father, he creates. God the Son saves. And God the Holy Spirit actually mediates this salvation to us. No, it's not true. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are constantly involved in our lives. And we need to recognize that. And we need to pray to the persons of the Spirit, of the Godhead. I once asked my father, is it okay to pray to the persons? He was a theologian, better than I was. And he said, yeah, of course. They're all God. And although it's a mystery, the Trinity is active in our salvation. But the Trinity is also active in the church. We're going to have a teaching session in February. And we're going to look at the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church. I used to give my students an assignment saying, why should the Acts of the Apostles, be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit? Because it seems to me that the church was dragged, kicking and screaming into mission, and the Holy Spirit was leading. The Holy Spirit initiated the mission of the church. And ultimately, the Holy Spirit is given to us as the church. Not just individuals, but to the church. And we need to see the Holy Spirit in the church. And we'll come to this in this series. The last four of the series will be the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And we want to see both of them here in Bourne Baptist Church. I want to see the gifts of the Spirit expressed. So keep that in mind. But the Holy Spirit also equips. And I'll come back to this in a minute. But the Holy Spirit not only empowers but equips us. So if you feel inadequate to do the work that God has given you, great. Because you are. And as I was sitting down there, I was practically shaking. I feel totally inadequate to do this sermon. It's ridiculous. I feel completely inadequate, but we are equipped by the Spirit. And it is the Spirit who helps us in whatever work we are doing. And so if you say, if we need some person to maybe volunteer to do something within the church, and you feel, well, I can't do that. Remember that there is somebody who's beside you and is going to equip you to do that work. And the Holy Spirit is God, therefore, what we know of God, we know through Jesus. And he is loving. When we started this, just a quick parenthesis here. When we started thinking about this series, Kate, one of our elders, wrote a couple of pages of a paper and said, you know, what is going to be the things that people are going to be worried about? And one of the first ones was fear, wasn't it, Kate? We fear what the Holy Spirit may do. The Holy Spirit is not the wild child of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. You've got to be I'll come back to that. I'll say this in a minute. But the Holy Spirit is God. And we've got to have this Trinitarian understanding. I know that sounds a bit technical, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And since my sabbatical, I begin and finish every prayer time within the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you might be shocked as a Baptist, but I cross myself. Because this is our God. And we've got to have this Trinitarian understanding. The Holy Spirit is the God of the Trinity. And we relate to the Spirit. And I refuse to say he, and I refuse to say her, but God is not male or female. So the Spirit is like a mother who cares for us. And mothers, we have a couple of new babies in the church at the moment. And do you see the way that these mothers care for their children? And that's the way the Spirit cares for us. Because the Spirit loves us passionately. And it's such a privilege. It took 4 centuries for the church, the early church, to understand who the Holy Spirit was and what was the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it ain't easy, but it's important. It's essential, in fact, that we try and get our heads around this Trinitarian understanding. And if you know me, you will know that I just adore studying the Trinity because it's such a challenge. Because, yeah, I'll get emotional if I talk too much about this. So, very quickly, the Trinity, the Spirit was there hovering over the face of the waters, as I said that already. When you send your Spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the ground. So the Holy Spirit is involved in creation and the sustaining of creation. And again, you're going to be sick of this, Angie. But Angie said that, I noted this, that the beautiful creation that God has made that we are slowly destroying. So the Holy Spirit is involved in the maintenance of this creation. It is part of our understanding of God that he is the God of creation as well as salvation. And it's the Spirit who is there. Do I hear an amen or? Thank you. So the Spirit's there in creation. But like I said, he's also involved in the empowerment. And you can go through this. We'll put this on the website so you can go back and have a look at all the different verses that I'm quoting. And this is why I had such an absolute crisis this week. Because there's so many verses about the Spirit. And even Pharaoh, of all people, Ramesses II, who was a brutal dictator, makes Vladimir Putin look like a pussycat. He was nasty, but he recognized that Joseph had the Spirit of God, who gave him wisdom. And if there's one thing that we need today more than anything, it's not intelligence. It's wisdom, the wisdom of the Almighty God. Wow. And in Numbers 27, God instructs Moses to lay hands on Joshua. Dear little Joshua. We think of Joshua as a great warrior, but he was scared. He was terrified. Who was the warrior? Was Caleb. I always think of Caleb as a sort of Captain Mannering sort of character. I don't know why. It's just like, because when they say, who's going to go into the hilltops? And that's where the Anakites were, the big guys. And he goes, I'll go. Let me at them. But God instructs Moses to lay hands on Joshua, and a man who is given the Holy Spirit to lead. And something that hasn't been mentioned today, which is prophecy. You can read those. I'm not going to quote every one of those verses, except the second one. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. The teaching on the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the poor are very important. Because that's who hear God's message. And if we can understand that, we preach. And again, I think I've got to emphasize this, is that preaching, because there is a tendency today in our pluralistic society, do you know what I mean by pluralistic, don't you? But, you know, everybody can have their own opinions, then we can't just impose our opinions, which we can't, but that we don't preach. We show God's love, but we don't preach God's love. And a friend of ours in Argentina, she was the wife of René Padilla, who is a very good theologian. And I asked her about preaching. And she said, actions without words are mute. But words without actions are just words. So we need this two things. Preaching good news. That God has saved us. That is, to me, it's non-negotiable. It just simply is non-negotiable. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the prisoner free, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. And although Jesus doesn't quote it in Luke 4, and to declare the day of the Lord's vengeance. And unfortunately, there is a day of the vengeance. And then final point. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on the Messiah. Jesus had and needed the Holy Spirit. Now, we tend to think Jesus didn't need anything, did he? You know, Jesus was God, so no problem. But he needed to talk to the Father. We know that because we're told that. But he needed the Holy Spirit as well. To me, it's an amazing fact that Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, Savior, and Master, needed the Holy Spirit. And if he needed the Holy Spirit, then boy, do we ever. So, we can experience these wonderful gifts today. We have access to the great power of creation in the Holy Spirit and the great power of salvation and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, of prophecy, etc., etc., etc. And the Holy Spirit's time is not at an end with the end of the New Testament. Now, we can experience these gifts. Like I said, encountering the Holy Spirit as a person. Don't upset the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Don't grieve somebody who you love. And if you love God, you love the Spirit. And although the Spirit may seem more mysterious, maybe, than Jesus or the Father, the Holy Spirit is still God. And let me assure you, that the Holy Spirit loves you. Passionately. The Holy Spirit loves you. Because he is God. She is God. Is that there's a long history of calling the Holy Spirit she, by the way. It goes back to the first century. But the Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit wants the best for you. And although sometimes you kind of think, oh, well, Lord, come on. I don't feel like the Holy Spirit wants the best for me because I'm suffering. Or the best for the world. The best for creation. The best for the poor. The Holy Spirit is as much against injustice in that reading in that Lorraine read to us in Isaiah 61. He is for the creation. So what do you do? What do we do with all this? It's all very interesting, isn't it? It's all very clever stuff. Well, first of all, we need to pray that the Lord will anoint us with the Holy Spirit. Go on. Hammer on to God that you want an anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's that parable of the unjust judge in Luke. You know, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want that anointing. I go back to this little story of Jacob. Jacob shows God's grace because he was a nasty character. He was not a nice chap, to put it in very English ways. He was not good. He was a schemer. But God still showed his grace. And he wrestled with God at the Jabbok River. Do you remember that story? Anyone remember? Do you remember what Jacob said to this weird person? I will not let you go until you bless me. We need to wrestle with God on this. And be open to God. To listen constantly to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting to communicate to us. And often in theological circles, we put the Bible and the Spirit against each other. And they're not. You know why? Because he wrote it. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:16. I can remember it because it's like John 3:16. I'm glad that it did that. All scripture is God-breathed. And it's basically talking about the Holy Spirit's work. Never ignore the Spirit's prompting. Listen constantly to what the Spirit is saying. Jesus says it in Revelation 1-3 several times when he's writing to the churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Be very serious about engaging with and encountering the Holy Spirit. Now, you know I like studying, but it's not about up here. It's an encounter with a person coming face to face with God in the Holy Spirit. And that really leads on to the final bit, which is be ready for surprises. Like I said, you know, the Spirit's not the wild child of the Trinity, but the Spirit is not tameable, as God is not tameable. There's a book that some people like, some people really hate. It's called The Shack. I love it. Because the Holy Spirit is a gardener. And I love a gardener. She's sitting over there. But what we call order is not what the Spirit calls order. Ordering chaos. But it is always pointing towards the kingdom of God, towards justice, towards righteousness, towards peace, towards love, towards forgiveness, well, especially towards love, towards forgiveness. So that's the order of God. So be ready to be surprised by the Spirit. Just don't expect God to act like what we think he should. Now, I don't know whether we've still got the... I got a Mr. Potato Head. And the box, I've got written God on it. Because we take God out of the box and we stick where the nose where we want to stick it and the ears where we want to stick it and the arms where we want to stick it. And we create God in our image. And the Holy Spirit is not into that. The Spirit wants justice. The Spirit wants righteousness. And we fit in with the Spirit, not the other way round. So I have not done a comprehensive survey of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament by any measure at all. But what I want to leave with you is that we should, as Christians, be ready to encounter God in the Holy Spirit. And if we are, we will be surprised, but we will also be blessed. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being there for us constantly and not deserting us even though we're sinful and even though we grieve you constantly. We pray that you will inspire us, you will recreate us, that you will recreate our church, that you will help us to know you intimately as a person, not as a force, but as a person. So we do thank you for being there for us constantly. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.